Hi there. In today's video, I'm going to share some thoughts and just a quick teaching on life after death. Wow. Bear with me a moment. But if you're new to my YouTube channel, welcome. My name is Graham Jones. I'm a Brit living here. I am a missionary to America to teach them all how to speak properly. It's a joke. And I live in New England, lead some churches here, do some itinerant and mission work. And I just love Jesus. And I'm really interested in seeing Christians grow to the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ. My real mission, in a way, is to get the church to stop begging God to do something that he did 2,000 years ago. To stop praying, send your love, send revival, we're hungry for more of you. And rather to teach the church who we are in Jesus, that of his fullness have we all already received. Amen. Boom. Hey, if you're new to my ministry, a few practical things. Why not hit the subscribe button down there if you're on YouTube? Give the bell symbol a long press and check out some of the links below. I have an online ministry school, several churches here in New England. We're going to be doing some mission trips to Europe at the beginning of 2021. Lots of great things there, including my email newsletter. Let's have you sign up for that. Good. So, teaching. Well, I've been talking for the last week or so about having firm and good foundations in our Christian life, about the house built on the sand and the house built on the rock, about doing the sayings of Jesus. And Jesus gave this example of the house on the rock, house on the sand, and he said one of them, they both got hit by the storms of life. And I believe we're all going to get hit at times by the storms of life, whether you like it or not. America's going through a really stormy season right now, as are many nations, with COVID and racial tensions and elections, which happen tomorrow at the time of recording. But I am not going to be moved. Paul said in Acts 20:21, I believe it is, none of these things moved me. And no matter what storm blows, whether we have a peaceful election or a bit of a turbulence in this system here, none of those things are going to move me, because my foundation of my life isn't built on what's happening in the media and the news or in Washington. It's founded on this, the Word of God. And I'm just coming here every day with some thoughts on what good foundations are. What I want to do today, I want to talk about some foundations that maybe we wouldn't really think of as foundations. I want to challenge you really briefly today to think about life after death. What happens when we die? Now, I know every Christian has a standard answer to that, and I think it's the correct answer. And yet I think it's possible. Let's see if this makes sense. It's possible, I believe, for us as born-again, spiritful believers to walk with God, to live, and as I've been a believer, let's say for 35 years, to walk with God, and yet to have good theology about what happens after we die and heaven or the presence of God, the New Jerusalem, all these things. And yet at a practical level, just to live like the rest of the world lives and to adopt and adapt and be molded to the value systems of the world around us. Paul said, he didn't say when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. He said, you're in the world, don't be of the world, but don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you'll think with me for a moment today, I believe this is true, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too, but I think the world is actually terrified by the fear of death. I think in a way, if you could look at every little fear, every anxiety, and nobody's afraid of COVID. People are afraid of dying. Nobody's afraid of COVID. They're afraid of losing their elderly relative. My point is, every fear, if you keep pulling down the layers of the onion, reaches down to the fear of death. And I think that's intrinsically in us. It's amazing what happens to any of us. And I'm sure you've been in those experiences. I hope you haven't, but where you're near death. I've had about two experiences in my life where I really thought I was going to die that day. One of them was in the year 1990. And I was kind of running away from God a little bit at the time, like Jonah. And, long story short, I was in a vehicle. I wasn't driving. Some other person I didn't really know was driving. And they were in a very fast sports car, like a really massive hunked up turbo thing. And they completely lost control of this car at about 90 miles an hour. And the car flipped and spun. I mean, literally, I saw the whole world spinning around. And it really is true what they say, that you see your whole life, you know, played before you like a movie. And I don't know if everybody will have that experience, but I had that experience. I still have very clear memories of what probably was only 3 or 4 seconds as this car spun out of control and hit the barriers and bounced around. And I literally saw my whole life, you know, every second of it in slow motion literally goes through zunk that way. You know, eternity and time are really weird things. And I really thought, this is it. You know, I'm going to wake up in eternity. And I wasn't in the best place with God at that season. Instead, I woke up in an ambulance, you know, with the sirens blazing, rushing me to hospital. And, you know, that was actually quite scary because I mean, all strapped up and neck braces, whatever. And I asked the guy, am I, you know, the man sitting there with me, one of the ambulance drivers in the back, am I okay? Like, and he was just saying, we'll be there soon. And I was like, am I going to live? Am I okay? And he was like, we'll be there soon. That was a little scary, but, you know, basically I cut some bruises and nothing really serious. You know, it's a whole other side story. I should tell the story another time, but I'm using my words carefully. I was possessed by fear from that day forward. Anytime I was in a car that I was not driving, it's true. For years, anytime I would drive, and I'm a pretty fast driver, I'm not like some Sunday driver, let's say, but anytime I wasn't driving, when I was in the passenger in the rear seats, when somebody else was driving, I went through the agonies of hell. I can't describe it. My stomach would be in knots. I would be terrified. And that went on for several years when I was frankly running away from God until the day I came back with him and God said to me, I love you. And I was completely set free. Now, I don't mean I want to drive with somebody who isn't safe, but love drove fear out. Anyway, but I had another experience again years later when I was preaching in India. I was in a Muslim village in the south of India, and they were not happy that we'd come to town. And I'm the evangelist. I'm preaching Jesus. And the crowd starts rocking the stage and pushing and shouting things, and people started throwing rocks. And, you know, if anybody who's been in some of those places like India, the population is so dense. There's just nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And I literally sat there thinking, God, I'm going to die. And the Lord said to me straight away, that's okay. Are you willing to die? The Lord asked me the question, would you die as a martyr for me, for the gospel? And I was sort of zoned out a little bit in time. I stopped looking at the stones, the people. I started thinking about it and I thought, I don't want to die. I don't believe I'm called to die. I've got a family and a young baby at home, but I said, Lord, if you want me to, it wasn't some act of bravery. It was just actually quite cerebral. I thought through and said, Lord, if you want me to die, I'll take it. I'd rather die for you than deny you or walk away. And I actually thought through that. I'd rather die today knowing I'm here to tell these people Jesus loves them and that, than die in a car wreck because I was running away from God and being goofy. And you know, it's funny when it's a really interesting thing. I've never connected the two stories together. But when I said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to die, suddenly every bit of fear left me. And this Holy Ghost boldness, literally the gift of faith came upon me. And I went up and grabbed the mic and I silenced the crowd. And then I actually said to them, I'm going to pray for the sick before I preach the gospel. And I said, if nothing happens, you can throw us out of town, which the pastors weren't happy with. But I said, God's going to come and heal the sick right now. And that shut the crowd up. It was like the prophets of Baal. And you know, true story, we had blind eyes, people in wheelchairs walking, paralyzed, healed, glorious things. And most of the town came to Jesus. And they ended up not stoning us, but bringing us flowers and celebrating. We planted a church there. So, you know, living free from the fear of death is a really powerful thing. And I want to give you 5 quick keys today that will help us think about life after death. But again, I just want to lay that foundation stone with you today that I think the world in which we live, it just washes us, it brainwashes us all the time to thinking this is the only thing there is. And the world comes with its value system. The world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It doesn't always say, be a hedonist, party, but the world basically says is have fun, live a good life. Yeah? You have fun. You can't, you don't hurt other people, but there isn't a God that you can hurt by sinning. And the world looks and says, have a good innings, live a long life, you know, wind up the end of your life, have your bills paid, you know, see the next generation running on. And in the world, in a way, the world's message to most of us is eternal life is you seeing your kids and your grandkids doing well. And I think that's actually really, really wrong. Eternal life is you're going to spend eternity with your kids and your grandkids. I don't want to simply grow old and see my kids and grandkids do well. I want to leave and go to heaven that way, but then I want them to come to heaven, and I want to spend, when I've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, I want them to be there too, and I want you to be there. Boom. So how do we become countercultural in the way we think about life after death? Five quick keys. Number one, Jesus has conquered death. I love saying that. I really do. Again, I was sharing this yesterday, but once I was preaching in a crusade in Asia, and as I literally said, Jesus rose from the dead, and I saw this invisible, that wasn't invisible, but a visible ripple, like a shudder go through the crowd of thousands, blah, blah, blah. And then I did it again, and through an interpreter, I said, Jesus rose from the dead. And my interpreter, yep, Katawe, whatever, you know, and I saw this ripple. And later on, I prayed and I said, Lord, what was going on there? And the Lord said to me, when, as you proclaim Jesus rose from the dead, Holy Spirit just was poured out like that. And he said, every time Holy Spirit wants the world to know Jesus conquered death. And Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Nietzsche wrote that God is dead. But now God wrote that Nietzsche's dead. Jesus is alive. And I'm going to follow somebody who has died and has come back and has risen from the dead. And it's so important that we, you know, especially like in a political age like this, that our message to the world is not we're pro-capitalism and anti-communism and we're for this. I mean, amen. I'm not against those things. We're for that and our healthcare and taxation or whatever. They're not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus died so you could, not so you could live, but Jesus died so you could die. And because he lives, we can live also. So number one, Jesus conquered death. Number two, we are eternal. I like to say you're going to burn forever in one place or another. And I mean that quite literally. I think we're going to burn with the love and the grace of God or not. And we are eternal beings. And we have eternal life now. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. Eternal life is something, frankly, you were created with, but it's something you receive, especially when you come to Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You received everlasting life when you believed in the name of Jesus, not when you die. It's not something, you've got it now. You've got God's eternal Zoe life in you now. Come on, number three, life after death, we don't know exactly what that will look like, and we can't describe it. Paul talked about going into God's presence, into heaven, and seeing things which are not lawful for men to talk about, to describe. And if you look at the language there, he's not actually saying it's illegal, like you'll get a fine if you talk about that. God doesn't want you. He's actually saying it's beyond our capabilities to describe these things. And any analogy I give you today would be a poor one. But imagine, I've had the privilege of praying for deaf people who've been born deaf, congenitally deaf, never heard in their life. And they've heard, I've got videos of people hearing for the first time in front of me. I have a photo somebody of a guy who'd never seen his own son. And he got instantly healed in a gospel meeting. And I have a photo of him looking at his son for the first time. Here's my point. Imagine you're deaf and you've never heard music. Imagine you're blind and you've never seen a sunset or a flower. And people can try and describe it, but you have no reference point upon which to even build those things. And I think there are some eternal things that I think at times God gives us types and similes, but we have no capacity to describe. And heaven's going to be glorious and amazing, 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 amazing. And we should know those things. I think sometimes we in the West, because we're so blessed and God prospers us, and by and large our societies are safe, let's keep praying, but are in a good place, is that we look at the our Christianity through the lens of the here and now in this life. God is my healer. God wants to bless my kids. God wants to put bread on my table, and amen to all of those things. But you know, above and beyond that, throughout most of church history, most of the church has not been looking at how can God make the here and now better. Although that's not wrong, they've been looking at the what will it be like throughout all eternity. Most of the churches realize, 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things that we can see, I have a beautiful car outside God gave me, but one day that's going to be a bucket of rust. Okay, I have a beautiful Bible here. One day this is going to be in tatters, probably very soon actually. You know, I have the latest iPhone. It looks just like the iPhone 4, the iPhone 12 Pro. Really like it. Nice. But next year I give it to my kids or to you or to whoever, and soon I'm going to look at this and go, did I ever use that? It's so slow. And it will be a worthless piece of junk with a fading battery. And everything you can see will pass away, but God wants us to realize the power and the glory and the grace of eternity. So to be with Christ, Paul says to be with Christ is far better. Hey, key number four, we will know and be known. I really want you to think that through for a moment. In heaven, you're going to be you. You're not going to be some angel or some, you know, rebooted person. You're going to have your personality, your memories. I believe even in a way physically, you're going to be glorious and, you know, limitations will be taken away, but you will be you. And you're going to know your wife and husband and kids and friends and neighbors. Now, we're going to know them in a different way. There won't be male and female. Jesus said people won't be given in marriage like on earth in that sense. But we're going to know them. And I believe if we were to build relationships now, thinking, you're stuck with me for eternity. Yeah. I'm going to know you for eternity. Not I'm going to use you or be a friend for a season and check out on you. I think that would change us. Hey, my last thought today is I believe we should live with one eye, as it were, on eternity. And that should change and shape and remold how we think about life here on the earth. I know the older I get, the more I actually, this may sound cheesy, but I love wisdom. I love patience. I love, Warren Beatty's the actor, isn't he? Warren Buffett once said the stock market is a device for transferring wealth from the impatient to the patient. That's really true. I love having that long view with investments. I love saving. I love doing things well. I love buying really great things. Sometimes people come and they see Graham like, you have some amazing leather. There's a company in Texas I use to buy things. I love these guys, Saddleback Leather. They give a 100-year guarantee on the things they sell. They say your kids, your grandkids will be fighting over them. And here's my point. I've lived long enough to know that I don't like buying things that break in 6 months' time. I wanna have a long view. And that's great for here on the earth. But I want to have a long view on eternity. I want to be looking at life now, not through the lens of, oh, this will be over in 20 years. I want to think the things I do now will shape who I am, maybe who you are, who others are in the light of eternity. So let's live in the light of eternity. Boom. Hey, good. Few thoughts, guys, for you there today. Depending on when you're watching this, pray for the elections or pray for the after elections. Let's just pray there'll be peace in our nation and love. And I am praying that the body of Christ will rise and be the best version of itself and call people to prayer and love and unity and not pour oil or gas, petrol on the fire of divisions. But hey, I'm cheering you on wherever you are at. Hope you have a really great day, and I'm going to be back again with another teaching. So every day-ish, I'm trying to do two videos now, what I'm calling the Graham Show, which is really tongue-in-cheek. It's just my little random thoughts about life and books and God and motorcycles, politics, whatever. And then I'm going to try to do a daily teaching, which is what you're on right now. So again, check out the links below. Let me know how I can pray for you and have a wonderful day. Bless you guys.